Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed statement, Mubarak statement, that khayrul quruni, that out of all of the generations, the best generation is mine, and then the generation after that, and then the generation after that. Now here, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has in this short statement given an azim, a very great message to the whole ummah, that what is a good thing, what is a bad thing, the basis to understand, to differentiate between good and bad. The Prophet ﷺ has given us that learning. That Rasulullah ﷺ said that out of all of the generations, the best generation is my generation. So our criteria of what is good and bad is different, and the Prophet ﷺ, his criteria was different, was correct. And if we look according to our brains, we think, okay, the best generation was this, and this is the better generation, etc. And at that time, there was no scientific advancement, no solid roads, concrete roads, pavements, or tall buildings. So how can that be the best of generations, we'll ask. So here, we realize is that the point that's in our minds, that progression in the dunya, progression in terms of materialistically, is not what gives the best of generations. Rather, Allah Ta'ala's definition is different. We shouldn't come into this misunderstanding that due to technological advancements, a person becomes good, or if he doesn't, he becomes bad, or he's greater, or is less greater. That if in the dunya, a person's progressing, he's got money and wealth and land, and technology has advanced, and things have become more scientific and data-based, and there's ease in the world. Yes, there is ease in the world. But this, as I said, is not the basis of success. Allah Ta'ala's basis of success is something else, and that was the basis that the reason why, and that is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said that my generation is the best of generations. Most definitely, in that generation, they didn't have tall buildings, but they had great akhlaq, great conduct, very high level of akhlaq. So best was their akhlaq, so great was their akhlaq, that the people who lived in that time, they were so great, their akhlaq became so great, their conduct became so great, that until Qiyamah, nobody could get close to the dust on their feet. So there wasn't some specific ibadah that made their akhlaq great. The Rasulullah ﷺ said that the uruj that was given, the heights to my generation, that their akhlaq was great and their status was the best. It wasn't due to ibadah, worship. What was the reason that they were given the heights and the glory? For which reason did Allah Ta'ala love them the most and was pleased with them? There was one reason, that their akhlaq had become very great indeed. Their akhlaq, their conduct, their manners. So this is a great message for us, that look, that we, if we should understand the basis of our life, we have a mission, we have an objective of life, we have a maqsood, we have a purpose for every Muslim, every believer. And that we want to get close to Allah, we want Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, we want Allah to be pleased with us, we want darajat in Jannah, we want to be saved from Jahannam. And all ibadat, worship, we do for this reason, we try our best. But the real ibadah, the real ruh, the spirit of all of ibadah, due to which Allah will accept all worship actions, is due to akhlaq, due to conduct and manners and humanity. And Allah Ta'ala, as Rasul ﷺ said, that after my generation, the generations to come will get further away from me. It's not because, obviously, we can see that there is a lot of progression and there are big buildings and masjids in the old days were made out of mud walls and straw hats. Even Ahmad Ali Lahori, rahmatullah alayhi, I remember his famous statement, that in that time when the masjids were made out of mud walls, then the people, the musallis, were solid. But now the walls are solid in the masjids and the musallis are weak and fragile. So that's the reason that today, yes, there's a lot of ease and science and data and speed, but Allah Ta'ala says that my pleasure and it is earned through certain action, that action has been eliminated. Akhlaq has gone so low today, it's drowned. That's why today this generation, Rasulullah said that it's the worst of generations that will be worse and away from me, because people's akhlaq will degenerate, akhlaq will decrease, akhlaq will not remain. And it's so sad to say that no insan today realizes this, doesn't pay attention, that for us, the sign of getting close to Allah, the sign is akhlaq. We don't pay attention to this, we don't try, we don't make effort to get close to a good akhlaq, and we don't utilize the methods to improve our akhlaq. Yes, we have dhahiri ibadat and worship, but Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that if you want to become a good person and close to Allah, and you want to be near to Allah, then the biggest factor is what? Is akhlaq, good akhlaq. Good conduct. Today our aqabireen, we speak about our pious elders, and we think that they were walis and they were great because they did certain actions and worship. But in reality, all our aqabireen, pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, the pious elders, the walis and the sheikhs, it wasn't due to their physical worship, but really it was due to their akhlaq, due to which they became beloved servants of Allah and they attained the heights. And the nearness to Allah. If a person's akhlaq is not good, then dhahiri external worship will not benefit. Look, Hazrat Mufti Al-Adam, Muhammad Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah's mercy be upon him, was a great sheikh from our Qabirin, from the elders of Deoband. He had a very high status, and I'll tell you one event of his. And mashallah, he did a lot of work of the deen, propagation of deen. And Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, he was one of the ajal khulafa of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi. He had a history and many subjects of Islam. He was great, and mashallah, he was a mufti, and subhanallah, he had done a lot of work of the deen. And from the muftis, he was very famous. So he had a high status, due to which we recognize him, we've learnt a lot of the deen. But in reality, there was another reason that gave him the heights. Until today, people remember him and his name is high, on a high pedestal. Nobody looks at this point. And there's a small event, example, but this tells us the reality of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, why he was great. And he came out of the bathroom and somebody said, Hazrat, are you okay that you've delayed coming out from the toilet? Yeah, we say the Baytul Khula. In Urdu, Baytul Khula, the toilet. Maybe you didn't understand what I was saying. So he delayed a little bit coming out. And when he came a little bit late, a little bit time had passed, some minutes, some extra seconds, and somebody asked, Hazrat, you were delayed coming back. What's the reason? He said that there wasn't some specific reason why I got late coming out. When I came out, subhanallah. Now, the toilet is an impure place. And in that impure place, what was his thought? That somehow I want to earn a good deed. Imagine this. Imagine this. This is our person. When he gets close to Allah, he has the feeling that he wants to do good. Dirty, impure place at all. He thought that I was thinking that I'm free from relieving myself, and I've utilized the vessel to clean myself. So I thought, okay, I've utilized the vessel. Let me clean it and make it presentable, because after me, somebody else will come into the toilet. And a Muslim brother, any person, any individual, any human being, to give them pain or distress, to give the heart pain is a major sin. So tell me, look, his thought is it's a big sin, a major sin, not a small thing. So in that place, in the toilet, he's thinking that somebody will come after me. I've utilized the vessel to purify myself, and maybe due to me, the vessel is becoming pure or dirty. So he felt this, it may not be that due to this vessel, somebody else comes into the bathroom toilet and gets difficulty or distress, and then I get immersed or involved in sin. And this was his akhlaq, subhanallah. His vision, his thinking, forward thinking, how great he became in his thinking. And we understand this point, but the barakat that are contained within such actions, because Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives recognition. We pray salah, you pray salah, I pray salah. Allah Ta'ala's further, whoever Allah Ta'ala's salah, Allah Ta'ala instills barakat that in that salah will be elevated. We are praying, reciting the same surahs and verses and the same postures, movements. But if Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy comes, if Allah's attention comes onto a person, then his salah will ascend to the heights. Because it's Allah's rahmah and mercy that gives a person progression. And if we see on the day of Hashar, can anybody claim that he will be forgiven due to his amal? No. Nobody can guarantee that due to the deeds, no ghaus, qutab, no insan. Nobody can guarantee the acceptance of his deeds. Even the Sahaba Akram never thought this. The Rasulullah even said this, that nobody will be forgiven due to just the deeds. So what's left then? What is it that will give us progression? What will give us success? What deeds will give salvation and forgiveness? There will be deeds, ibadat. We cannot have total 100% guarantee that our ibadah will take us to Jannah. Alongside amal and worship, there's something in parallel that we are desperately in need of, which will give us success. That is Allah's special rahmah and mercy. Yes, we are dependent on Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Every human being is dependent that if we don't have Allah's rahmah, we cannot succeed. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah will allow somebody's broken down salah to take him to Jannah. And if Allah Ta'ala's rahmah doesn't desire, then doesn't matter how great my salah is at the time of the Hajj, Allah may throw it back in my face. So every man is waiting for something that Allah's rahmah may come unto me so I can succeed. And even today, we should request Allah Ta'ala in our du'as, in every du'a, Ramadan's coming, that Allah, please give us your fadl and mercy, that may give us your mercy so that all of our actions are accepted. Don't look towards your ibadah, don't look towards your worship, don't look at your tahajjud or your dhikr adhkar, but rather we should be focusing on Allah's mercy. Allah, I am nothing, this is your hukum, that's why I am practicing, and it's a habit that's become, I'm used to doing this now, but I'm not practicing what you've ordered, rather it's your hukum, rather I've just become used to, okay, the first fast, the second fast, third fast, I'm just used to it. But it's your rahmah, your mercy that will consider my fast truly as a fast and accept it. Subhanallah. Not this, oh, I fasted and I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, and why now is rahmah not coming? Why I'm not floating in the air? And why am I not a wali Allah? I kept the fast. Why do these problems and difficulties have to come to me? Look, I kept the fast and I struggled and my tire on my car's punctured. Why? Why do we think like this? Alhamdulillah. Not should I just keep the fast. Rather, will have recited Quran a lot and done a lot of dhikr, adhkar, waked up in the night and cried in my prostration. My feet will be swelling up the time of eating. I'm not aware that, for example, I should eat sahri at the right time. Just one thought. That Allah, please accept my fast. Regardless of what I've done, I want you Allah to accept my fast. So we are dependent. The mu'min's dependent on Allah's rahmah. In the world and in the akhirah, will be dependent on Allah's rahmah. So how will we get that rahmah? How? Not from ilm, not from fast, not from knowledge, not from hajj, not from zakat, not from dhikr. How? So let's listen to a hadith that I remember. Hazrat Jarir radiallahu anhu, Jarir ibn Abdullah, and this is in Bukhari. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari. And you brothers will have studied this hadith, your alim, hazrat, scholars, and stated that on the day of Hashr, resurrection, listen carefully, this is very beneficial. If we definitely are seeking Allah Ta'ala's rada, Allah's pleasure, that we want to be saved from Jahannam and we want to go to paradise, really we want this, then we need to listen to these words with attention so we can do amal on this. This is not a speech, not a lecture. I'm not telling you big references, nothing. Just a small example that I've heard from the pious elders that I'm presenting in your service. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. From these minor points, not just the life, but the generation's lives are improved. Yes, if we listen to hours of lectures, but the words, the pearls that have come from the blessed mouths of the pious elders, they have an effect that after decades I'm repeating those words that I heard in the company of the walis of Allah. I am presenting this to you as a gift. I have no desire to speak too much, nor do I have the desire to speak too much, etc. But maybe I will succeed, and maybe you will succeed if we understand these words so that we repeat them. This is a hadith, so you've understood and I've understood that how will we become successful? How? How? From Allah's rahmah, we've understood this. Okay, fine. So this is a point that we understand. So how will we succeed? Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. So Ibn, this companion radiallahu anhu said that on the day of Hashr, those people, they will have lost out from Allah's rahmah, mercy. Totally they will have lost out. Tell me. Isn't it? A person's lost now, isn't it? So now we need to come out of this predicament, out of this trap. Yes? So we should not be included in those people in the hereafter, with those people who are devoid of Allah's rahmah. That person's totally failed. He has nothing left. No ibadah, as I said before, as I mentioned in front of you. How will we succeed? From Allah's rahmah. So he stated, those people will be devoid of Allah's rahmah, totally devoid of Allah's rahmah, which people? In whose hearts they have no mercy for other people. In whose hearts they have no rahmah, no mercy for other people. They have no mercy, no regard, no feelings for the people. That person will lose out, will be devoid of Allah's rahmah on the day of the resurrection. This is akhlaq. This is good conduct, about which the Prophet ﷺ said that the sign of the worst generation is that people's akhlaq will have been lost in that time. Gone. Today, in this day and age, that the Prophet ﷺ, we are far from his time, aren't we? We are in the worst of times at the moment, because we are furthest away. Why? Because the akhlaq of people has disappeared. Tell me that if Allah's rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, that if in the hearts of people have no rahmah and mercy for others, no care, no due attention for others, that we'll see a person's in a difficulty, problem, in debt, and he's surrounded by problems and difficulties, whether he's a neighbor, friend, person we know, somebody we travel with, whoever is that person, then have I got mercy? Have I taken the food out of my mouth and given it to that person? This is what should happen. That the person who wants that Allah Ta'ala has mercy on him, then I want Allah Ta'ala to accept all my deeds. I should have rahmah and mercy for other people. This is the point we need to understand. So as I was saying, I'm requesting for this reason that we need to come back on the right track, on the straight track. And what should we emphasize on? That ibadah, that worship, those actions we should strive for, to make effort to attain the reward from, through which Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us, and through which He will be accept pleased with our deeds. And that is what? To elevate our akhlaq and our conduct and our manners and our regard for others. We should understand the subject of akhlaq, study it, realize it, learn it. We need to look down, be humble, bow our heads, look inside our hearts. We do dhikr, we pray tahajjud, we pray salah, we follow the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, good things. But for a while, let's look down inside ourselves, inside our hearts, ponder, reflect, that really, the way the Prophet ﷺ has told us, that are we now living in the worst of times? Have we got the akhlaq of the worst of times? Our wife's not happy, our children's not happy, our children are not happy with us, the people in the home are not happy with us, people outside are happy with us, the neighbors are unhappy with us, enemies are unhappy anyway. But my akhlaq should be so good that even the enemy shouldn't be unhappy with me. He should be happy with me. That's when a person can get success. Look, that if I don't have this within me, then what really do I have within me? Which ibadah of mine will be accepted? How will I get the rahmah of Allah? How? Yes, that we cannot get to our destination. Can we? Yes, that I am fair with one person, I'm fair with another person, I favor somebody more, I don't favor another person, I do fraud with somebody, I deceive somebody in my home, I'm something outside, I'm something, with my relatives I'm something, with my friends I'm different. Tell me, is this the basis of success? No. So what should we be focusing on? Well, shaitan has made us pay attention. One thing, alhamdulillah, I pray salah, I think I'm the best. Oh, I go on hajj, I'm the best. I go on umrah, I'm the best. But really, is this how weak our brains are that Allah Ta'ala has given us these 30 days? And what does Allah said in the Quran? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That all this effort you will do in Ramadan, Allah says, I'm reminding you one prime factor. That you pray salah all year long, you read Quran all year long, you keep nafal fast all year long, you do all actions A to Z all year long. But Ramadan 30 days are making you work hard for what? So that your akhlaq can be pulled together and improved. Look, I know, you know, we know this masala, we've heard this from the scholars, that if you want to spoil your fast from one action, by one action, that if you swear at somebody, if you backbite against somebody, what will happen? Until the evening, your fast will be hungry and thirsty. All it will be is that you'll be hungry and thirsty. So such a great ibadah of fasting, Ramadan, will be completed due to one prime factor, that our akhlaq until the evening should be at the highest level. Our akhlaq should not destroy our fast, it should elevate it. Staying hungry, thirsty, getting tired, waking up, doing ibadah, all of this will go to waste if our akhlaq is not good. In the same way, the fasting of the 30 days of Ramadan, the same way Allah Ta'ala states that your whole life's ibadah will evaporate if you come to me, Allah says, with the bad akhlaq. I won't look at your fast, your salah. Allah says your whole life, that Allah Ta'ala says you kept the fast for one day and you sinned and you had bad akhlaq, it wiped away your fast. So all of your life's ibadah, worship will also be wiped away. Allah Ta'ala says you shouldn't take somebody's right, you shouldn't pierce somebody's heart with oppression, you shouldn't have non-mercy with people, you shouldn't oppress people with dhulam. Allah says in your societies you should live, fulfill the rights of people. Always, at any second of the day, a human being's rights is upon us, isn't it? At any moment of time, at any second in time, of the day, somebody's rights are upon us. So we're in the masjid, the rights of the masjid is upon us. They are upon us. Remember when we go to do wudu, then wudu's haq is upon us. How much water shall I utilize? How should I do wudu correctly? This is not my water. This is the house of Allah. So if I go home, it's my home. But even in my house, there's a right of the house upon me. How should I utilize my home? This is not the case. Then, yes, insan, human being, is surrounded by rights. We need to fulfill the rights and meet the, and distribute the rights in the correct way. And this is the definition of akhlaq. This is the definition of tasawwuf and Sufism. That's why when you look at the life of a wali of Allah, we have a different definition of success. Oh, he's a wali. He does so much dua. When he does dua, his dua is accepted. And he's written thousands of books. He's a pious wali. He did this action. He's a wali of Allah. We didn't leave this for one day. There was not a Ramadan in which he didn't do itikaf. And there's no Ramadan in which he didn't do itikaf in Makkah al-Mukarramah. This is our basis of definition of success. Fine. But the definition of Allah's. The what's a good akhlaq? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my generation is the best generation for this reason, that in my generation lived the people who are the best of conduct in the history of mankind. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so this we have to think about today, my friends. May not be tomorrow that we lose out. Alhamdulillah, we are on the right path. With the fadl of Allah, we're on the right track. The parallel track, that the path that Allah Ta'ala has defined to us about making good akhlaq, we're on that track. We're following the path. Allah said that go to my wali, my friend, do the dhikr of Allah, do mujahada, strive. But when your deeds will be sifted through, and we have to then recognize that is the akhlaq there that's uplifting my deeds? I shouldn't be in a delusion that I'm in the company of a wali of Allah, I'm a student, and then I'll become successful and we'll get to Jannah without any hesitation. No, this is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam. He can give somebody walayat and piety and kash to somebody and not to anyone else. It's Allah's choice. But do one dua due to which Allah will be close to Allah. Give me good akhlaq so I can become close to you. Allah, so that my rights, I'm not breaking anybody's rights. I don't want anybody to be distressed with me. Rather, this, alhamdulillah, I should be very cautious that from every man, at the time of departing from a person's company, I should say, please forgive me, I've made mistakes. Yes, if you're detached for a while, or for example, you're not connected for a while, and you say in the evening, oh, if I've made a mistake, please, if I've committed excess against you, please forgive me. Or if you're going to leave somebody for a while, or go on a holiday, or a trip, then that person will say, oh, if you say, no, he should ask me forgiveness. Oh, no, I should ask him forgiveness. It was his mistake, not mine. So this is the reason that I should know that this was his mistake. Even then, you should say, no, it was your mistake. No, it wasn't your mistake, it was my mistake. I am wrong. Please forgive me. And look at the difference that we made in that person's life. There's no person who doesn't know that he's right or wrong. Everyone knows where he's right or wrong. Yes? So let's do dua to Allah. Let's request. And alongside dua, we should accept that Allah, this is our manzil, this is our destination. We want good akhlaq, anger less, and disrespect less, and the hakuk of others. We shouldn't commit excess against somebody, do dhulm against somebody. When we promise somebody, we should fulfill that promise. And especially when, for example, we make this appearance and attire and imama and beard and libas, we have the dhikr tasminahan, and we have the nisbat connection with the sheikh, then that person should be extremely cautious about akhlaq. Then remember, the people, they don't look at their face and appearance. Rather, what do they look? They look at the akhlaq in that person, the conduct. They seek high level of akhlaq and they grab that person's example from that. They look, such a person, I see him and he's like this. He's doing this. Don't they say this? That this person is earning and he's pious and he's doing bad actions like this. Yes, unconsciously we know that if this is our way of life, that people should understand us as good, then we should become good at the same time. And to become good, there should be one criteria out of good akhlaq. Good conduct, there should be no pain, there should be no distress. No mu'min should give pain to another mu'min. To break somebody's heart is a guna, kabira, a major sin. And you could give pain to somebody from any way. For example, if you apply perfume and another person sneezes, you should be cautious that when you sat with that person, then don't utilize that perfume due to which he gets a sneeze. Say subhanallah. Tell me. For example, you know that an action annoys another person, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like that, for example, you eat onions or garlic, so you should be careful that when you go to meet him, then you shouldn't have the smell or aroma of those unpleasant things that he doesn't like. This is a high level of ibadah, and this will get you close to Allah. This will take you beyond thousands of tahajjud. Allah says, you've appreciated the status of the heart of that person due to me, you've loved him due to my sake, and you've saved him from difficulty or pain or distress. For example, you're going to meet somebody, you need something from him, you think first, when I go, and is this the time for this person's rest? Or is this time for him to eat? Is he sleeping at this time? What's our job? And we disturb. And not just once, we keep the finger on the bell and then we swear to you, oh, you're sleeping? Why don't you get up? Your eyes don't open. Imagine. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sunnah that once salam, second salam, third time salam, and then return. Even if you don't get the response, he's busy in something, he doesn't want to come, he cannot answer you. So if we do this, what does it become? High level ibadah with the fadl of Allah, with the mercies of Allah. So today, we need to lay emphasis on this, that akhlaq is ibadah. This is a great ibadah, inshallah. Whenever you get a chance, then hand yourself over to akhlaq and earn the thawab. Don't look who is it, he's a Muslim, non-Muslim, no. With good akhlaq, good manners, treat that person nicely. You understand, I'll get lots of rewards and my ibadah will also be accepted, and you embrace the opportunity and please the heart of that person. That person shouldn't even feel, shouldn't even know. You have to take money. If you've given someone, you have to take money from somebody, he has to repay you. You know he's in distress and he's in need and he shouldn't ask you, and his akhlaq doesn't make you ask. Suddenly you go and give him money when he was in distress, subhanAllah, from that person's heart the du'as will come, that you've given me money in a nice time. Tell me how great that person becomes, even if you keep asking. And he says, give me. But with that niyyah, he's taken a loan from you, you're not asking for him to repay back, and you haven't asked him, and he knew that you're in need, and then he comes and gives it to you. Take some moment. Is this not ibadah? Is it not a great ibadah? Great ibadah. Look how Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with this. Pleased. So this is akhlaq, and due to this, our akhlaq has disappeared. This is why this is the worst of generations. But Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has told us those actions, those deeds, alhamdulillah, that today we can loot, we can grab hold of the rewards that were distributed at the time of Rasulullah's time. In this worst of generations, today we are drowning. And we are so far from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah. But even today, Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's education and teachings, if we embrace them, subhanAllah, then the fragrance of that generation, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generation, we can smell as well today. That fragrance, that aroma will come even now. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.